The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Welcome back, my friends from Columbus. Did you go home at all? You were here last week for okay, you just decided to come back. Welcome back, Raymond and Karen. Happy birthday. Thank you. What a great way to celebrate our birthday, Pentecost. Pentecost meaning Penta, the 50. It's been 50 days since we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. We had 40 days celebrating until his ascension, going back to the Father. And then 10 days more of celebration, although those poor individuals didn't see it as celebration, right? Man, they were terrified. They were locked in fear in those 10 days, awaiting something, hoping and praying for something to happen. And sure enough, it happened after the 10th day. As I sat in my backyard this morning, the sun had come up, and I was watching the sun and thinking, what a beautiful day. It's got the makings of a beautiful day. It wasn't quite as humid as it is now. And the sun rays, beautiful and warm. And I thought, man, it's got the makings of a beautiful day. But meanwhile, I was watching my phone and I was checking the weather and saying, you know how quickly this darn thing can change. And it said 1 o'clock, 30%, 2 o'clock, 30%, and 3 o'clock, 50%. And I said, hey, Holy Spirit, we might get in and out. But isn't it the story of our lives? Story of our lives is that reality. We can be extremely joy-filled, and then we get some darkness or sadness that visits us, and it changes everything. Conversely, we can be going through a difficult period, and we get some good news, and it has the power to really transform us, the power to really lift us up. And that was the experience of Pentecost for them. For the 12, as they gathered in the upper room, their hopes had been dashed. And when we look at it carefully, some of it was self-talk. They had talked themselves into that reality, and they believed one another. And Thomas had separated and gone off on his own. And when Jesus appears to them after the resurrection, he's not there. And they go through their little drama and their little dog and pony show. Ah, na, 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 we have seen the Lord, and you haven't. Perhaps that was the way. I don't know. I wasn't there. But you can surmise that perhaps they were saying to him, ah, you missed it and we got it. Well, that could have been the attitude, but it's not a very helpful attitude. Because the overall attitude is about making sure that everybody else sees him as well. That is the message of Pentecost, that he has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can enable everybody else to see and to experience. But how easy it is to become shortchanged in that reality. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen, absolutely. Because, hey, when I take in half-truths and I'm not looking for the real good news, but looking for the news that satisfies me for the time being, problem. Then I can go from back and forth and back and forth in those realities. I can be happy one minute, I can be absolutely despondent the next. It's one of the great realities of life, and it is celebrated in the Pentecost story. And as I looked at the chances of rain coming in and changing our whole program, I thought, okay, it's in your hands, Holy Spirit. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but the reality is, hey, it can change our attitude, or we can just trust what we have. And that is the core of the good news, really trusting what we have. And not being led sideways, you know, by half-truths and half-stories and gossip and challenges that tend to undermine the truth. Ultimately, the Lord really had to work hard to convince these ones that he had chosen. And he does the same with us, continuing to work pretty relentlessly in trying to bring us around. When we slide into a funk, how difficult it is to get out. It takes a lot of effort. It takes some trust and some faith in him. For the disciples on this day, the apostles, as they gathered in the upper room, their funk turned into an absolute joy. Why? Because they were open to receiving his gift. That's what the church needs in the modern world. We look every day and we say, look at how things have gotten so out of kilter. Things have gotten so out of harmony and so out of order. Guess why? Because we're not relying on the good news, we're relying on other news. Somebody calls it fake news, right? But we are relying on news that is not the good news. And that's the essence of our growth and development. How would we move out of a funk if that's all we're getting? And then a little interlude with the good news. Doesn't work. And that was the great story for the apostles. We look at all three readings. The first reading, they were all gathered together, and what happened? They hear a rumbling outside. How different it was to the appearance of the Christ. Holy Spirit was making his presence felt. The noise outside, a swirling wind, and then coming in, and all of a sudden, what a transformation. These folks who were terrified now speaking out and proclaiming the good news. Because the Lord had decided to take away their fear and their terror and their anxiety. That's what the gift of the Holy Spirit does. Without that, we are still going to be holding on to fear and terror and worry and anxiety, and we're not going to be proclaimers of the good news. St. John put it exactly that way 2 weeks ago when he said, you know, those who love God, hey, they let it be seen. They love one another. And that's how we know they love God. But those who do not love one another do not love God. He put it that simply. Well, remember we reflected on that 2 weeks ago? That's the truth. If I really want to celebrate my love of him, then it comes by investing in my neighbor. And not just the neighbors I like, but all of the neighbors. Because everyone bears that marker, that seal of sonship and daughterhood of God. They began to understand that, and nothing stopped them. The second reading proclaims boldly, no one can claim Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit is in them. How much more direct and simple can you put it? I cannot proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord unless I am in the Holy Spirit. Now, I can say it, but I cannot proclaim it as truth. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. I do not have it in me. Of my own volition, I cannot proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. But living in the Holy Spirit and receiving that gift, then I can do that. And the gospel, how powerful is the gospel? We read it just after Easter, and now we are back to it again for Pentecost. How important. Jesus stands in their midst. There's no big wind or no big noise or anything else. He just appears in their midst, despite the locked doors. And what does he do? He greets them with the gift that is the hand-in-hand with the gift of the Holy Spirit, peace. Peace be with you, not once, but twice. He said it again. Folks, receive peace. And don't let that peace be taken away from you easily. Don't surrender it for foolishness. Don't surrender that peace. You know, I say to people after reconciliation sometimes, the net result of reconciliation is peace. But you could lose it before you get out onto Highway 25. Be aware of that. It's absolutely true. Why? Because of very simple things that are totally incongruent with the gospel. But I would let it go, and I have. And I will again, I'm sure. But it's important to be attentive to that reality. Do not sacrifice that peace easily. That's what sustained them. And then after he had given them that peace, what did he do? He breathed on them. What a powerful image, the breathing on them. And I think nobody does it better than C.S. Lewis in the great experience, The Chronicles of Narnia. And I know you know the story, because the greatest Christian allegory that took 25 years to put together, the whole series, and how brilliantly he portrayed the Christ. And he made it, you know, that the land of Narnia had been turned into this place of cold and ice and snow and terrible, represented by fear. And the children wander into the land of Narnia, and they begin to hear the story as it is related. And everything that the witch has touched or the evil one has touched has been turned into stone. And particularly outside of her own castle, all of those great creatures turned into stone. That's how she cast the spell on them. And the hope is living all of the time that Aslan will return. And eventually, when he returns, the great hope, particularly illustrated among the children. And they had come in through the wardrobe, and so Aslan, the king, the lion, represented as the lion, the king of the jungle, the king of the space. And here he is representing the Christ. He has come. And here's the way C.S. Lewis describes it. Of course, the children's eyes turned to follow the lion, but the sight they saw was so wonderful that they soon forgot about him. Everywhere the statues were coming to life. The courtyard looked no longer like a museum. It looked more like a zoo. Creatures were running after Aslan and dancing around him till he was almost hidden in the crowd. And instead of all the deadly white in the courtyard, it was now ablaze with colors. Glossy chestnuts, sides of centaurs, indigo horns of unicorns, dazzling plumage of birds, reddy brown of foxes, dogs, satyrs, yellow stockings and crimson hoods of dwarfs, and the birch girls in silver and the beech girls in fresh, transparent green, and the larch girls in green so bright that it was almost yellow. And instead of the deadly silence, the whole place rang with the sound of happy roarings, brayings, yelpings, barkings, squealings, cooings, neighings, stompings, shoutings, hurrahs, and songs and laughter. "Oh," Susan said in a different tone, "look, I wonder, I mean, is it safe?" And Lucy looked and saw that Aslan had just breathed on the feet of the stone giant. "It's all right," shouted Aslan joyously. "Once the feet are put right, all the rest of him will follow." Lord, set our feet on the right path and open us to receiving your Holy Spirit. What a powerful image. Let us celebrate it, and happy birthday.